I'm joined in the studio by two of our resident enthusiasts who are tuned in to music and the arts. Vanessa Finney is a JPR arts reporter. She also hosts the podcast My Better Half and The Creative Way. Thanks for being here, Vanessa.
Good morning, Mike.
Also joining us is JPR's Dave Jackson. Dave is the host of Open Air, and he curates music for JPR's Rhythm and News Service. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Good morning. Thank you.
Listeners are also welcome to join the conversation by email. Send your thoughts to jx@jeffnet.org, and we'll try to get them into our discussion. So we're halfway through September. Kids are back in school now. Temperatures have started to cool somewhat, although today still feels like summer. People are enjoying outdoor entertainment still in the fall, and it's beautiful now. Vanessa, I know you've got some venues that we'll get to in a moment. But Dave, you wanted to touch on some notable music albums?
Yeah, for the upcoming fall season, probably what you'll be hearing quite a bit of on Open Air, which the show I host on the Rhythm and News Service. I wanted to touch on a few of the albums that we're focusing on right now. One of them is Anna Tivell. She's a folk artist out of Portland that we've been following for pretty much most of her career. She kind of has a unique sound. She sort of champions the downtrodden. Her new album's called Animal Poems, and it's her take on the meaning of life. And I wanted to quote something she said about it. She said, "I think about being here, how brief it is, how incomplete our understanding. I think about history, all the worlds we've created and broken, revolution and renaissance, hope and humility. Everyone here is living a creative life. Humanity is unfolding as we describe it. We'll never get it right, but the attempt is everything." And that's so that kind of encompasses a lot of the themes in her music. And there's that album kicks off with a tune called Holy Equation, and a line from that, she says, "I'm waking up early, I'm bussing the tables. This whole thing is really a hopeless equation." So she is a little bit on the depressing side sometimes, but really interesting to listen to. And I really enjoy her sound. I kind of call it wait for it music. It doesn't reach out and grab you with the first note, but if you kind of pay attention and let it happen, you'll, by the end of it, there's just all these layers of sounds and interesting ways of doing things. She's a violin player, first and foremost, also plays guitar. She's a multi-instrumentalist, but her percussionist, I watched her in concert one time, and I don't think her percussionist ever actually just struck a drum with a drumstick. He's using brushes and just different things and just these quiet things that kept a rhythm and made just for a really interesting sound. So I've always enjoyed her music. So.
Did you say that album was called Holy Equation?
That was one of the songs. The album's called Animal Poems. That's it.
And the song is called Holy?
Holy Equation, yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Another one we're on a more upbeat note, the new album from David Byrne and Ghost Train Orchestra. David Byrne, of course, from the Talking Heads. It's a new solo album. He has some insightful commentary. I've heard it described as post-COVID rock, where people are kind of trying to still make sense of things and make rock and pop music, but just kind of with that in the history. His humorous insights and quirkiness is all on display on that new album. And Ghost Train Orchestra is a kind of a large ensemble that was formed back in 2006. And I have a couple of clips from one of the tunes on there. One of them, the first clip, just to get an idea of sort of what he's singing about.
I met the Buddha at a downtown party. He was hanging by the pastries and the canapes, just stuffing himself like there was no tomorrow, with a beatific smile all over his face. I said, "Dude, should you really be eating?"
So that's the... That's David Byrne's humor just shining through there. And then later in the song, the orchestra kind of takes over and you get to hear sort of what they do. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a lot going on. It's a fun album. It's poppy. There's a lot of great musicianship in it, and it's one of the things we'll be digging into throughout the fall on Open Air. And then one more is a band called Big Thief, and the front woman for Big Thief is Adrienne Lenker. She's a singer-songwriter and a guitarist. She holds online song workshops. The last album, was it? Let me see if I'm doing their album Bright Future was nominated for Best Folk Album at the Grammys back in 2024. It's indie folk, some really sharp songwriting, and they go back to 2014 when they began working. She began working with Buck Meek. And Adrienne Lenker actually put out her first album when she was 14 in 2006. She has become quite an accomplished songwriter and singer since then. So that's just sort of a quick look at some of what we're playing on Open Air for the fall.
So. Well, I've got a son that's 14, so he's falling behind. I'm gonna.
You better get him some lessons.
Let him know he's got to get that album going. Yeah, really. In case you're just joining us, I'm joined in the studio by JPR's Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson. We're talking about what's happening in music and the arts around Southern Oregon. So, Vanessa, any notable performances out there in the entertainment venue?
Yeah, a couple things I wanted to bring attention to. One is the In a Landscape series. This is an outdoor concert series that was founded in 2016 by a native Oregonian. Hunter Nowak grew up in Central Oregon, and he and his team transport his 9-foot Steinway into all these natural settings across the country and, of course, a lot in Northern California and Oregon as well. I had hoped to pump up the performance tomorrow, which is in Central Oregon in Bend, but I checked this morning and they're sold out. So unfortunately, the next one you'll get a chance to see in Oregon is up in Salem, but it's worth the trip. It was going to be in Drake Park in Bend, but I would like to just talk it up a bit still because, he's going to go on tour again. And if you haven't seen this, it's a really neat experience. So what it is, takes this 9-foot piano, grand piano, outdoors. And I interviewed him earlier this year, so I was so intrigued that I caught a show down at Applegate Lake. And Valerie Ng, our classical music director, caught one on the coast, I think Coos Bay or something. So at Applegate, he's set up on a platform right at the river, and everybody has Bluetooth headphones on. And he encourages people to wander about. You could either sit there in the shade, like lots of people were clumped together under the trees. It was a hot day. Or just wade in the water and have that experience because he's playing Debussy, talking about water. And I tried that out. I had my headphones on and I walked the good ways on this dirt trail along the perimeter of the lake, and I still heard him so crystal clear, like 100 feet out, as well as the ducks, in the water at my feet. And he encourages people to lie down under the piano for that full resonance. So I just want to put that on people's radar. Inalandscape.org is where you can track that. He also has guest artists. So he had a Native American flutist from here in Oregon and different folk singers. So he's always mixing it up and trying to bring in local talent, which I love.
That's amazing. So you have this ambient sound of the people and the nature, and you also have this classical music in your ears.
Yeah. And so it's not this artificial separation. This one doesn't have to be in the salon, and it's not just purely classical. It's with modern music as well. And it goes both ways. He says he entices sort of strictly classical music lovers out into maybe outdoor settings they might not otherwise get to. And also just the people recreating at the park, he's there in front of them that maybe they've never been exposed to classical music or wouldn't go out of their way for it. So it, both sides kind of get a chance to experience something a little new.
It sounds like a great family adventure.
It really was. Lots of kids there and families.
It does sound fun.
Yeah. So, I could talk about Jazz Vespers.
Let's hear. What is Jazz Vespers?
Yeah. There's actually, that's a phenomenon across the country. The one I'm talking about happens at the First Presbyterian Church in Medford, and this is ongoing. On Sunday, it was the Teresa McCoy Quartet. She's a well-known local drummer. And what this is the First Presbyterian Church in Medford has a year-round series where the second Sunday of every month is Jazz Vespers. It's an hour-long program starting at 5 usually. And then on the fourth Sunday, it's Classical Vespers, to mention classical again. And there's usually a visual artist as well. So, you know, before or after the event, you can sort of wander the galleries and see what visual art is up. This time it was an artist, watercolor artist named Betsy Bars, I believe. So last Sunday, yeah, like I said, Teresa McCoy Quartet. In the past, Peter Anastos, the trumpet player, Paul Turnipseed, the guitarist, have played there. Coming up, we have Alan Giardinelli, who's a more gypsy jazz vibe, Mark Hammersley Quartet. And interspersed in that is sort of the pastor does get up and talks for a few minutes. An inspirational message might be from poetry or the Bible, and then we go back into the music. So it's a free event, although the hat is passed to help support our wonderful musicians.
Okay, and so where is that?
That's at the First Presbyterian Church in Medford.
Okay, when?
It's year-round. It's the Jazz Vespers is the second Sunday of every month at 5 p.m., and Classical Vespers is the fourth Sunday of every month.
Okay, so what other performances should our listeners be looking out for?
I have coming up next week, a duo called Hermanos Gutierrez is performing at Brit. They are Estevan and Alejandro Gutierrez. They're guitar players. They're actually Swiss and Ecuadorian. They grew up in Zurich. Alejandro was taught Latin classical guitar, and Estevan was self-taught using YouTube videos. They play something that I kind of call desert blues. It's a genre that's making a bit of a comeback right now, in spite of the fact that they're from Switzerland. It's a sound that kind of comes from the Southwest American desert, maybe northern Mexico. It's atmospheric. It's a little bit psychedelic. It's expansive. It's the kind of thing you might want to have as your soundtrack if you're like driving at night with the top down and going through the desert and seeing like rock formations, kind of like from the Roadrunner cartoons or something like that. This would be the kind of music you might want to hear. And last month I talked about a guitarist named Adrian Quesada. He kind of dabbles in a little bit of that. He's a guitarist who's also in Black Pumas and a couple other bands that we play. And there's a trio out of Texas called Krungbin that plays it. It's kind of got there's a little bit of surf rock involved in it. There's a little bit of country twang involved in it. There's some Latin sounds and stuff like that. And it just all kind of goes under the hat of desert blues. And I do have a clip of a tune of theirs called Sonido Cosmico. It's the Hermanos Gutierrez. And they'll be performing out at Brit. That show is coming up on the 18th. It's sponsored by Jefferson Public Radio. So their last couple of albums from Hermanos Gutierrez are produced by Dan Auerbach, who produces everybody. He's most known for his work in the Black Keys. He's half of the band The Black Keys. And I think it's going to be really interesting music to hear just kind of out on the hill in Jacksonville at night. I think it's going to be a nice venue to hear that kind of sound.
Yeah. Dave, one of the things you do that just amazes me is you're able to listen and understand the different genres in music. When we come back, and we do have to take a short break, I want you to talk a little bit about that. Before the break, we were talking about different genres of music because Dave has this extraordinary ear where he can listen to music and place it in its correct genre.
Yeah, it's interesting that a lot of times I use other artists as adjectives when I'm describing music. And I don't know if that's always the best. It works amongst like real music, the DJs here and stuff like that. I'll get what I'm talking about. And I don't know that other people always get that. But when I come up with terms like wait for it music or something like that, there's like a lot of music that, you know, if you're used to pop music that comes out and grabs you, everything's like cranked up to 11 and you hear it and it's got a great beat and the chorus comes in at exactly 30 seconds in and stuff like that. That's pretty easy to feel and get. Sometimes though, you have to kind of get led into music. And I think, you know, the genres, Vanessa, that you talk about are more like that. But when you get that in folk and pop and stuff like that, it's a little bit different. So I tell people to kind of wait for it. And this is going to develop into something that's going to grab you. I feel like maybe Hermanos Gutierrez is a little bit like that too. It's kind of quiet. It's kind of laid back. But if you listen, you'll just get kind of enveloped in it. And it makes it a little more interesting and fun to listen to.
Kind of a slow burn.
Right, a slow burn sort of thing. So
speaking of slow burn, I know that many artists have been inspired by some of the outcomes of the Almeida fire, some of the impact, some of the resilience. I want to give kudos to JPR's award-winning news team, which has been doing great work on covering stories around our region on the fifth-year anniversary of the Almeida fire. And we recently did a segment on the Jefferson Exchange with the city managers of Talon and Phoenix, talking about the resilience of their cities after the fire. And I wonder how the impact of such devastation on those communities shows up in art and music.
Yeah, it's interesting. Dave mentioned earlier, you know, the genre post-COVID rock. I guess that David Burns term. But I've been reflecting on this. You know, you think about past historic events that really become legends, and it's because people are memorializing them through art in part. You know, it's not just the history books. People are writing books about them, writing songs about them. The same is true for COVID. We saw lots of things, still seeing lots of things about that.
Every time we do a live session, we've stopped asking, what did you do during COVID? But almost everybody will bring up what they were doing during COVID. The music that kind of came out of that was sort of interesting. It's like during the lockdown, all this music that was really quiet and introspective, and then there's been a little bit of a burst of sort of pop afterwards when everybody sort of reemerged and started coexisting again.
Yeah, and theater artists as well. Mm-hmm. Bo Burnham did Inside on Netflix. That was an extraordinary piece.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So it's the same with Almeida Fire, and we're seeing that sort of legend building in real time. And a couple of things came up just last week. One is that there's this very artful, limited podcast series called Shaping Ash. And the first several episodes were released in 2022 and 2023, but the last two, the final two, were just dropped last Monday. This is produced by Ro Roykus, who I just learned is going to be on the JX later this month, so our producer is one step ahead of me there. And it really uses sound really creatively. There's original music. It's interviewing survivors. The producer is from Talent Mobile Estates, and there's a return there, sort of a full circle. So I really enjoyed that, and you can learn more about that at shapingash.com. And as those final episodes were ending, a new creative response began. And this is a new project breaking ground with a different creative team. So last week, a well-known Rogue Valley music director and composer, Jesse Sanchez, starting recording his own interviews with survivors of the Almeida fire. And he's getting help with two really happening theater artists from New York, Dahlia Asherina and Sammy Hornoff. And together they're creating a song cycle. So a different artistic form, same material, but again, it's just, you know, we're seeing these waves as the years go by, waves of creative responses to this. So I'm really excited to track that. And you can track it as well at Jesse's website. That's jessesanchez.com.
So that's a lot of impact.
Yeah.
That happen with Talent, with Phoenix, or with Medford, Ashland. The arts are instrumental in bringing out our emotions with regard to our experiences, right?
Right, and good artists are reflecting what's happening to them at the time. So those good artists are making, you know, music that made sense to them at the time and hopefully to other people. That's why they put it out there, I guess.
Yeah. We don't always have the language ourselves.
Right.
You know, we rely on our artists for, you know, visuals and putting it into words or to song if it's beyond.
Right.
Well, the Alameda Fire didn't hit Jacksonville, but Jacksonville has its own art scene, right?
Oh, yeah. My favorite venue right now that I'm excited about is called the Art Presence Art Center in downtown Jacksonville. It's a historic jail. And each month they exhibit one member artist and one guest artist. September's member is Nancy, it's either Dart or Darte. She does oils on canvas of the microscopic world. So she'll zoom in on fruit. I saw a picture of a lime, and there's these very vivid sort of green rays coming out of the center. Or, you know, a rock, and she'll paint these colors so you see these neat patterns that are occurring in nature. She does bugs, plants. She's calling it her science phase. So that's the member artist. And then the guest artist this month is Shelley Walters, who's based in Bend. And Shelley uses mixed media to capture the landscapes and the wildlife here in the Pacific Northwest. So between that, the mixed media and the microscopic work, it's sort of a fresh take on the natural world in Jacksonville, but they've also got the supernatural covered because they just put out a call for arts for their annual series called A Gathering of Angels. This has become a local favorite. It runs November and December. So if you're an artist or if you know an artist, I know immediately told my sister-in-law, who's a painter, Lindy Kehoe, she's got lots of little heavenly creatures in her body of work. Any member of public can submit their art for consideration, and you can find details at art-presence.org. It could be 2D, 3D, any form. The criteria are pretty wide. You can do saints, angels, they use the phrase ephemeral entities. So that's, so it's just a neat thing that's become a local favorite around the holidays.
You know, when I first read about that, I had a flashback because years ago in a former life, I'm going to say about a dozen years ago, I produced a gathering of angels at Rutgers Business School. These were angel investors.
Oh, Goldman Sachs. Yeah, yeah. Well, may this exhibit gather those as well.
Okay. So Phoenix has also got a cultural arts scene, and they've incorporated a lot of the resilience of the city after the Alameda Fire. Tell me what's going on in Phoenix. We had the mayor on. He was so excited to talk about Phoenix and its art scene music scene. Mayor Al Muehlhofer. Yeah.
Sure. Well, one thing I know that they're really excited to get their art, their monthly art walks going, and they just had one last Friday. By all accounts, it was a great time. Some of the people that were involved were the Artist Attic. There was a mayor's gallery, speaking of him, at the Phoenix Civic Center. Northwest Ceramic Studios was involved. There were live musicians. There was also a live bronze pouring at the Langford Art Gallery, which is in the stretch of the highway between Talent and Phoenix. And that is, if you've never witnessed that, that is really something to behold. So I believe...
A bronze pouring?
Yeah, a bronze pouring. So it's one of many steps when you're creating a sculpture. And I learned about this aspect for the first time when I taped a video with the musician and sculptor and artist, Inger Nova Jorgensen, who lives here in Ashland. And I taped a little segment for her on Southern Oregon PBS, and that shows the live pour. You know, you've got to wear, you know, everybody has their welding helmets on, you're wearing non-flammable jumpsuits, people stand back, sparks are flying. It's really a scene when dusk and, you know, it's becoming twilight and you have that fire that people are gathered around. It's very, very primal in a way.
I can picture that. It sounds like something that someone would either capture in photograph or painting.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to our new monthly series, JX Arts. I'm joined in the studio by JPR's Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson. We're talking about what's happening in music and the arts in JPR and around our region of Southern Oregon and Northern California. And you're welcome to join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. We'd love to hear your ideas and suggestions. Earlier, Dave, you were shouting out some of those albums of different artists.
Right.
You have any others that you'd like to?
Well, I do want to talk about Jake Shimabukuro. He's performing at the Cascade Theater in Reading on the south side of the border on the 19th. And we're going to have a JPR live session with him that we'll share with you that morning as well. He got famous. He's a ukulele player out of Hawaii. He picked up the ukulele when he was four, and somewhere around when he was a teenager or so, he decided he wanted to take it to kind of new places. And so he's been he's often called the Jimi Hendrix of ukulele because not only his chops, but just how innovative he is with it. He plays acoustic. He plays it through electronic equipment. He puts, you know, distortion on it like an electric guitar. And he got famous with a solo acoustic version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps on an ukulele. That's just,
are you kidding me?
It's pretty phenomenally good. And most recently he did a blues album with Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac on drums, and featured Sonny Landreth, who's a great blues guitarist as well. He's worked with kind of a who's who his album Jake and Friends. He had Ziggy Marley was on it, Bette Midler was on it, Willie Nelson, John Anderson of the band Yes. And he did all these, he did a whole bunch of their songs with them and him playing the ukulele. I got a clip of him as well. Here he is with his version of Adele's Rolling in the Deep. To say I own two ukuleles and neither of them sound like that. I think I'm pretty sure they're defective. But he's performing at the Cascade Theater in Reading on the 19th, cascadetheater.org for more information on that show. He's a fun show as well. He's a really upbeat, spirited, and nice guy too.
One of my favorite videos of him, I just got to put this out. I don't know how to pronounce the female ukulele players, but it's spelled Taimane, T-A-I-M-A-N-E.
I don't know if I'm familiar with
them. There's an incredible duet of them on YouTube, that's Star Making Machine, where they're both doing body surfing and just going head-to-head, and they're shredding on the ukulele, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got about 30 seconds before we close. I do want to say that there's an annual creature crawl that's coming to Ashland.
Yeah, I heard something about that. I always thought it was called the Monster Dash. But, it's a community event that's happening on the 21st in Ashland. And there's storytelling and crafting and all kinds of seasonal stuff to do there. So.
Okay. So I think we've covered the waterfront. Is there anything we missed?
Well, this Friday, the Ashland Gallery Association celebrates its 30th anniversary. There's a public celebration at Big Dog Studios. Info at ashlandgalleries.com. Live music, auction, etc.
Okay. So you heard it here, and you heard everything. I think we've covered the entire region. But that's all the time we have. Thank you both.
Thank you.